Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. One thing I know, that he's been good to me.
Made it. Oh, kept me here. I just want y'all to know this tonight.
I made it.
I made it.
Well, yes, I made it.
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
There's a lot of folks said that I wouldn't be here tonight, but I made it.
I made it.
By the grace of God, y'all.
Yes, I made it.
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Yes, I am. I had to lay awake in the midnight hour sometimes, tossing and turning.
I made it.
All night long.
Yes,
have anybody ever had to lay awake all night long sometimes?
I'm still here.
Tears in your eyes, wondering what the next day was going to bring. But God kept it all around you. Yes, he did.
Yes, I made
you made it through your trials. You're still
I'm
here
still
tonight.
Here.
Come on and let me see those hands down tonight.
Hallelujah. By the grace of God, I'm still here. I'm Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil, and this is your Fix It Six. And like the song says, by the grace of God, I'm still here. And I thank God for all our listeners. I thank God for all our supporters and for all those that God has given us breath on today that we're still here. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Let's give God a hand clap of praise, because if it was not for God waking us up this morning, we wouldn't be here to see this brand new day that God has made. Amen. Before I get started with our show on this evening, I want to give a great, big, a word of thanks, appreciation. And to a wonderful woman of God who's been sitting in the gap for the last month and a half, who's been not only doing her shows, but doing my show and preparing Mount Carmel Ministries to go further onto a YouTube page, as well as going live on Sunday morning. She's been doing so much editing, and she's been putting the music together. She's been doing all the producing. She's been making sure the show stays afloat. She's been getting up early. She's been praying late. She's been getting up late, praying early. Amen. Glory to God to do the work of the Lord. So I'd just like to take this time to give a shout out to First Lady Apostle Dr. Carolyn McNeil. As she said, the one and only Dr. Carolyn McNeil. We really, 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 really appreciate you for all that you do, not just for the radio show, but the ministry as a whole, as a wife, as a grandmother, as a doctor, as a chaplain, as a mother, as a wife, sister, aunt, auntie, so many things and so many hats that you wear, a prayer warrior, just so many hats that you wear. And I just really want to thank you, because I'm finding out when you wear so many hats, there's so many people trying to snatch the hats. Amen. But you just keep on the good work that the Lord has you, and God will honor you, and he will bless you. He will honor your work. He will honor everything that your hands put to the plow. He will honor all your prayers. He will honor all your needs. He will make sure every need is met. He will keep your heart in perfect peace. And I just pray and declare that nothing but the love of God will fall upon your life. Amen. Glory to God. With that being said, I'd like to just open up in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this new day you have made. I thank you for peace of mind. I thank you for your grace and your mercies. I thank you for all that you do, not only on today, but in the past and in the future, God. I just thank you for being God by yourself. I thank you for being the author and finisher of my faith as well as my life. I ask you to keep in perfect peace my grandchildren, my niece, nephews, my wife, my enemies. Father, we just ask you in the name of Jesus to glorify yourself through us, Father. Use us like you've never used us before, God, even in this time of shedding, God. Shed in with us, Father. Fellowship with us. Come commune with us with your Holy Spirit, with your presence, with your wisdom and your power, God, in the name of Jesus. We just love you, God. We just want to pray for everybody in Africa, in Europe, in France, in Russia, every leader, everybody in the White House, every police officer, anyone that's lost someone, anyone that's suffering, anyone that's sick, we pray that you heal them speedily, Father, with a speedy recovery, God, in the name of Jesus. We're just thankful for what you've done, and we give you grace, we give you praise, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 hallelujah. This is a wild, wild ride. It feels so different. Like I can just feel the presence of a supernatural entity. I know it's God, but it's a different power than I felt. It's almost like I'm walking into a new power. Amen. That the Lord has just set here and prepared for me to walk into. Amen. Glory to God. And tonight's title will be, I Thought I Taught You to Fight Better Than That. The title is, I Taught You to Fight Better Than That. Amen. In training, if you're a boxer, you have to train. You have to sustain from certain activities. You can eat only certain things. Any athlete knows, anybody that works out, that you have it. When you are thirsty, you have to quench that thirst, or you're going to pass out, or you're going to dehydrate and catch the cramps, whatever. But we're going to talk about quenching that thirst. Amen. We're going to talk about quenching that thirst. Amen. The word quench means to shake, satisfy a thirst or a desire, to put out an extinguishing fire or put out flames, to subdue or to destroy or overcome. Amen. To overcome. Hallelujah. And I was before I got to do this lesson this evening, I was like, wow, Lord, what did I do? Where do I go? What direction do I go? And it's so much happening. I mean, you know, you can take your personal life, you can take what's going on in the world, however, but you have to see God. And I just laid and meditated, and I just waited, and I just waited, and I heard the word quench. You know, we're not fighting hard enough. We're not thirsty enough. We're not thirsty enough for God. We're not quenching that thirst that we desire to need. Amen. I just wanted to say, because even the scriptures say, I quench with the shield of faith every fiery dart the enemy sends my way. Amen. We have scriptures. I quench every fiery dart of jealousy, envy, anger, bitterness, and rage sent against my life in the name of Jesus. And these are fighting words, because remember, God taught us to fight better. And we're going to go to the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. We're going to go to chapter 6. Amen. And we're going to go to that familiar scripture. And I know everybody knows this scripture, but this is what God has given me. Amen. Chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. But we're going to start 10 to 20, because God has given us everything we need to fight with. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves and be honorable to ourselves, and, you know, myself included, how hard do you really fight? Do you go in and throw a few jabs? Do you throw a 5-minute prayer in? Do you fast a half a day? Do you just don't pray? You just give up fasting? You just, okay, I'm in an epidemic now. I ain't got to go nowhere. I ain't got to fast. I ain't got to. But the enemy is still busy. The enemy is still trying to destroy us. The enemy is still trying to kill us. The enemy is still running around finding people to destroy, because we done let our guard down. So, and if you have a box, the referee tell you as soon as you get in the ring, keep your guard up at all times. The referee says to both fighters, me and the enemy, keep your guards up at all times. The minute you drop that guard, you get sucker punched, because that's the way it is. So they give you a warning, and God gives us that warning. We got to keep our guard up. God has given us the whole armor of God, and that will help us continue to keep our guards up. Amen. Because I just wanted to see, because it's like preparing for battle. Like when Paul was preparing for battle, we had to look at it like that. We had to look at it as preparing for battle, because Paul used this like as a military imagery, this passage, to encourage us who are the readers, or those who partake in, or those who believe in our daily Christian walk, that we have to almost be envisioned a warrior, and we have to watch look at it as put as a warrior putting on his whole armor piece by piece. But don't miss the main point of the passage, because the focus must be on personal preparation, not on the enemy, but how does a godly man or woman prepare to live each day as a follower of Jesus Christ? By praying carefully, amen, attention to keeping his sword sharp. In verse 17, what does it say? Put on the salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We must be in the word on a continuous. You know, I found out, and I'm speaking on for me, that it's not enough to read a scripture. It's not enough to read a passage. It's not enough to read just a little that day. If I read a little that day, I need to read a little more that day, because remember, the minute I let my guard down, here comes the enemy. He's waiting for me to put my guard down. And my guard is my word. My guard is my prayer life. Amen. My guard is my fasting. I have to do the things of God. The things of God is what I must be doing. Amen. Paul was talking about we have to pray always, and with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, we have to get to the spirit realm first and then pray in the Spirit. We have to be in a place where God is at, where God is dwelling, where God is waiting, where God is there. We have to go to a spiritual place, humble, and be honorable and laid on the line. We have to be in the presence of our Father, who comes to give us information on a daily basis. But he can't give you information today if you're not seeking his face today. So when the enemy comes today, because we're not prepared, because we haven't seeked God for information, because we haven't been in God's presence for days and days and days, we don't know which way the enemy coming. We don't know what tricks the enemies are using. We don't know who the enemy is using against us. Amen? But when you're in that spirit realm will open up your spiritual eyes as well as your spiritual ears. And thus saith the Lord, you can hear. Thus saith the Lord, you can see what God is saying. And in the midst of that, we have to be able to listen. Because God's words and prayer, they are the Christians. They are, as believers, they are our greatest weapons against evil. Amen? Because we got to remember, the enemy has a lot of weapons. Amen? He has temptation, he has greed, he has lust, he has jealousy, he has anger, he has rebellion, he has so many tricks and so many weapons that we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared with God's word, amen, to get us through. It has to be God's word, amen. I want to read the scripture, and we're going to go over it if it's okay with you, amen. We're going to read it. I'm going to start at verse 10. Chapter 6, I'm going to start at verse 10, and I'm going to go on down, but I just get an understanding of this with me, amen? It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Be strong in who? The Lord. And in what? His mighty power. Not our own power, not our own ways, not our own wisdom, but in God's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. Not our armor, put on God's armor. So what? That you will be able to stand firm against all strategies. The enemy is working in strategies. The enemy is making you think this is right. The enemy making you think this is good. Because you feel good, you think that is good. Because this is happening, you think that is good. And these are the strategies of the enemy. So we ought to be in a position where we know as warriors and soldiers, okay, that's his enemy strategy. What is my strategy? Because what is my strategy when I get up in the morning? When the Lord wakes me up in the morning, my strategy is to be first getting before the Lord and getting a strategy. And one of the strategies that's told us is to put on the whole armor of God. That's what he tells us to do. So if he's telling us to put on the whole armor of God, there is a battle coming our way. There is a war coming your way. There is some trickery, some deceit. Something is coming if the Lord said, put on your whole armor of God. He wouldn't tell you to put it on if we didn't need it. Amen? We need this. Amen? All the strategies of the devil, for we are not fighting against the flesh and blood. So all us with this big muscles and the fighting game, it ain't about the flesh. We got to learn how to fight in the spirit. We got to get a relation in the spiritual realm. We got to be able to discern in the spirit. We ought to be able to discern when we look at somebody, what spirit is coming at us. What lies behind the smile? What lies behind the handshake? What lies behind the hug? What lies behind, okay, you can borrow this? What lies behind, I need you to do this for me? We got to be able, when anything is coming our way in the spirit realm, I have to be able to stand and discern and wait on the Lord to tell me, don't do that. Don't go there. They don't mean what they say. They're really jealous of you. Don't fall for that. Stand on guard. Pray while you're there. Be in prayer position. Amen. We got to remember this is not against flesh and blood, the enemy, but against evil rulers, not one, but rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Even in the heavenly places, there's evil spirits. So even when we get in there, we must be prepared to fight, because sometimes the enemy won't even let you get to that place of God, because he'll try to distract you or discourage you, so you won't even pray. You won't even get up and seek God. You won't even fast. You won't even read your word. You won't even be operating in love or none of the things of God, and the enemy will distract you so you won't even get to the place of the spirit realm. Amen. We got to remember he's trying every trick. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Woo! That's a good one. After the battle, after the warfare, after the trials, after the tribulation, after the depression, after anything, guess what? Anything that comes your way, the deception, the disloyalty, the dishonor, whatever it may be, guess what? After that battle, in the time of evil, after that battle, we will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation of your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It goes back to getting back into the word of God. It is so important for saints, men, women, children, for us to be in the word of God. That is our food. That is our medicine. That is our weaponry. That is our defense. That is our way of living, our way of thinking. Anything that we may be going through, we can find it in the word. Instead of trying to figure it out on our own, instead of trying to do it by ourselves, it is in the word of God. Pray in the spirit at all times, and on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying the strength from one another. We don't need to be badgering and beating the other one down because they fell, they backslid, they made a mistake, they said something they shouldn't have said, they behaved in a certain way. That is the time that we should be praying. My brother fell. My brother slipped up. My sister made a mistake. You don't badger them and beat them down. Jesus didn't beat you down when we made mistakes. He didn't come and put his foot on our neck. He didn't come and say, you know what, you're no good, I can't use you, I'll never trust you again. He didn't do that. He forgave and forgot, threw it into the sea of forgiveness, never to return. We have to learn to love one another again. We have to get back to a place where we can come together and pray for that brother and sister, knowing whatever the situation may be, even in this COVID epidemic, whatever it may be called, even in the midst of this, we need to touch and agree somewhere on a Zoom, on a Snapchat, whatever, come together and pray one to another. When two or more gather together, Jesus is in the midst. We got to start lifting our brothers and sisters up out of the mess, out of their fall, whatever it may be. Some people are depressed. Some people are just, they've been locked in so long, they don't know what to do. They're tired of reading. They're tired of continuing. But we got to continue to read because we are on the front line. So when God is opening up the doors to go out, we are prepared. We are filled with the word. It has become a habit. It has become a habit to get up and seek God's faith. It has become a habit to get up and read God's word. It has become a habit to get up and pray for my brother and my sister. It has become a habit to operate in love. It has become a habit to go into the spirit realm and lay naked before the Lord. Seek me. Search me, Father God. Anything in me that is not supposed to be there, please remove it. Show me my assignment for the day. Show me what you want me to do. Glory to God. We have to get back to a place where we're operating in love. Hallelujah. The armor of God, although we face a real enemy who is out to destroy our souls, the good news is that God has given us everything we need to be victorious in. Everything we need to be victorious in, despite God has given us. Our armor consists of what? Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the word of God, prayer, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So don't get caught in the enemy territory unprepared. Put on the armor of God each and every day. Don't get caught in the enemy territory unprepared. We all know what the enemy's territory is. Anything that's not like God, anything that's destroying, anything that's deceitful, anything that's nasty, anything that's dirty, anything that's a lie, anything that's not of God, we already know. So if we're in those places, we ought to be girded up. Because if you're girded up in that place, you're on assignment. Because you had to seek God first to even know to go to this place. Because God assigns us, it's just like the military. You got the infantry, you got the snipers, you got the guy next to the snipers taking measurements, letting you know when the people come. You got the air patrol, you got the Navy in the water, you got the Marines everywhere. We all have different positions in the kingdom of God. Where we get over fighting in the churches, this is my territory, this is my, nothing is yours. Everything belongs to the Lord. He has called us, raised us out of the muddy waters and out of our dark places to put us in a battlefield to fight against the enemy, to those who do not know how to fight for themselves. It's just like the government now. The military will fight Russia on our behalf, Germany on our behalf. We have to fight the enemy on the behalf of all God's people. We will not leave one sheep behind. If we have 99 and that one get away, go get the one, and then the 99 will be there when you get back. We have to get back to a place of prayer and reading God's word. Listen, the whole armor of God, this equipment is the believer's protection against evil and the devil. Paul presented the extended metaphor of the battle dress roughly according to the order in which the various pieces was put on. We can't get up and go to battle without your helmet. You can't. Somebody caught you. You need every piece. We need every piece when we go fight the enemy. Amen? We can't go half. You can't go into battle with a gun and no bullets. You can't go into battle with your uniform, but you ain't got no boots. Amen? We need prayer. We need to pray in the spirit. We need to get in the spiritual realm. We need to get into the word. Listen, there's going to be times where we want to give up. There's going to be times when you just say, you know what, I'm tired. There's going to be times. Those are tricks of the enemy. Those are the times when we must stand up. Those are the times that we must get into the word. If you have to seek out the word in this Bible until you listen, Lord, I need a word right now. Lord, I feel like this. Lord, this is how I feel. Too busy battling one another. You can't come to my church and bring your congregation because I'm in fear that y'all are going to take over. So I'm not going to let my drummers come play drums at your church. I'm not going to let my choir come play at your event. That is not how God has it planned. That is not God's plan. Listen, the Bible says we do not wrestle. The real battle is not with human cultists. It's not with false religion people. It is not with atheists. It is not with nobody. It is not with Christians, but with the demonic beings working through them. It is not the lady who does your nails and cuts you out in a foreign language. You're not battling against her. You're battling against the demonic being that's working through her. She's having a bad day. She really didn't want to do your nails. She really didn't feel like being bothered. Because she wanted the money, she thought she can treat you any kind of way, and she done made you upset, and because you done got upset now, you done got out of the will of God and said some things back to her that you know you would normally not say, or you done had some thoughts against her that you normally would not have. And then we have to ask ourselves, is God pleased with what I just done? Because even at that time, we know that that is the enemy spirit. He or she is being used by the enemy, and if we're in a spiritual realm, we can discern what spirit that is. We can discern not only the spirit, but then we can pray against it. Prayer life. We have to have a life where we can go to God and be on one accord with God and say, Father God, today you woke me up for a reason. Today, before I put on my whole armor of God, I want to come in your presence and seek your face. And I want to be transparent. Where do you want me to be today? Where will I be stationed today? How can I be used today for your glory? Not, oh, you know what happened yesterday? Jesus, listen, I need you to listen, Lord. I need some patience because guess what? If this person say this to me again tomorrow, I don't know if I'll be able to control myself. How do you go before the Lord like that? Lord, show me how. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, you know how I feel right now. Lord, I apologize for my behavior towards you as a man or woman of God. I was weak in a moment. Restore me, Lord. Restore me back to you. To you. Amen. We got to remember what the truth is. The truth is a reference to integrity, a life of practical truthfulness and honesty. That is the representation of our breastplate. In Roman times, this went completely around the whole body and was made of hard leather or metal. Righteousness. This is not to be righteousness of Christ, which all believers possess, but the practical righteous character and deeds of a believer. You know, I was talking to the first lady, and I was telling her, we was discussing some things, and I remember a long time ago, we had this conversation, and we was talking about conviction and how conviction sets in our lives if we allow it to, and it's a bad place to not allow conviction to take over. And I was trying to tell her that was one of my prayers, like convict me, because in my mind, if I allow God to convict me of my wrong, then I'm going to put myself in a position where I can't lie because conviction is going to convict me, and I'm going to have to tell the truth because I'm doing this unto God. And a lot of people don't want to be convicted. And because we don't want to be convicted, we don't tell the truth. We get caught up in, I ain't got to deal with that, or I tell them whatever I want to tell them. But we have to get back to the place of understanding, is this how God wants his soldiers and his people to be? Because we have to remember there's a preparation of the gospel of peace. There's a preparation for that. And we have to prepare to be the light, to be able to speak peace. To when we walk into a building that's in an uproar, we walk into a meeting that's in an uproar, all we have to do is speak, or your presence, it just makes peace all over the room. Just your presence, your anointing, your aura just changes the atmosphere into a peaceful place. Because you done been before the Lord, and you done been in the spiritual realm, and you done talked to God, and you done was transparent before the Lord, and you followed his instructions, and you put on your whole armor, God, and you listened to every detail God told you to do, and you did it the way God said do it. Now the Holy Ghost and the anointing is so powerful on you, wherever you're going, there's a change. There's a changing. There's a changing in the garb. There's a changing. There's not confusion anymore. There's not arguing anymore. There's not murder. There's not lies and deceit, because your presence will make the enemy tell the truth. We got to remember, I have some scriptures. I want to really get into a few of them with us. Preparation of the gospel of peace. This may mean either that the gospel is a firm foundation on which Christians are to stand, or that the Christian soldier should be ready to go out to defend and spread the gospel. Now, a lot of people want to spread the gospel from within. A lot of people don't want to go to the battlefield. And every time somebody goes to the battlefield and they're successful in the battlefield, it amazes me how when God lifts them up, or God does something for them, or God rewards them in whatever kind of way, there's somebody sitting back saying, I could have did that. Who they think they is, because they done prayed and 1,700 people got saved. I was just sick. And God would have used me. They lucky I was sick. Where do we get this competition in the spirit of we're not in competition with each other? We're to uplift one another. We're to support one another. We're to empower one another. We're supposed to support and love our brothers and sisters. Remember, we're in our quenching stage. We're going to quench that thirst to destroy the enemy. We're going to quench that every time the enemy comes. We're going to quench that fight in us. We're going to remember what we said the word quench mean. Remember what we said it meant. We're going to quench that thirst, that desire. We're going to put out that fire of the enemy. We're going to put all the fiery flames, everything the enemy tried to use against us, we're going to fight against it. Amen? We're going to put those flames out. We're going to subdue and destroy, and we're going to overcome in the name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. We got to prepare for the battle. This is the season to prepare. to prepare for the battle. Amen. Putting on our shield of faith. The Christian shield offers protection against all forms of evil. Flaming arrows could not penetrate the fireproof shield of the ancient Roman soldier, nor can the assault of Satan penetrate the believer who places his or her faith in God. His or her faith in God. Not in man, not in your car, not in your money, not in your big house. Put, good God Almighty, help me, Jesus. Put your faith in God. We got to get back to the place where I don't care what we feel like, what was going on in our life. I have faith in God that he's going to bring me through. I have faith in God that I'm going to get through this. I have faith in God that everything he said he was going to do, he's going to do. I have faith in God that in the 11th hour, the 59th second, and 60 more seconds, that before the time is up, God has made a way. We got to get back and having faith in God, even in this codemic time, the faith that God is going to bring us through, that the economic problems was not going to be as bad as the government say, that things is not going to be as bad as the people of the world say, but every word of God will come to pass. Hallelujah. We got to get back to praying, studying, reading, and walking in faith, walking and believing that I am who God say I am, no matter what has come, no matter what has came my way, no matter how many times you fell, no matter how many times you lied, no matter how many lottery tickets you done played, give it up and start anew. God will not leave us nor forsake us. We got to get back to trusting and believing in God. That sword is your weapon. That sword of the Spirit. This is the only offensive weapon in the believer's armor. This is the only weapon. This weapon is not necessarily the Bible as a whole, but the specific word that needs to be spoken in a specific situation, which means that scripture in a specific situation, that's the scripture that needs to be spoken. Every scripture ain't for every situation. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like we're talking about quenching the enemy. I quench every fire the enemy would throw into my sanctuary in the name of Jesus. If something is going on in the church, something is going on in the sanctuary, and you know it's the spirit of the enemy, you're trying to preach, you're trying to sing, you're trying to teach, but that spirit is coming up, you use that scripture. I quench the fire and the enemy would throw into my sanctuary in the name of Jesus. I quench it. And it's in the Bible, Psalms 74:7, amen. We also say, I bind and cast out every fiery serpent against my life in the name of Jesus. If you say it, believe it. If you bind and cast out every fiery serpent sent against your life, that means you done had to get up, prepare, put on your whole armor, God, because you ain't going to cast, you're not going to bind up nothing if you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost, if you ain't filled with the Word, if you're not in the spiritual realm. We're not talking about natural, choking nobody, tying nobody up, beating nobody down. We're talking about in the spirit realm. There's certain scriptures for certain situations. And we just can't just, oh, the Bible says, okay, but do that fit that situation? We got to remember, we're talking about the quenching. I quench every burning lamp that comes from the Levitan's mouth. I hope I pronounced it right. The Levians. And that's, if you read the book of Job, they were speaking against him, but he used that word. As a matter of fact, if you want to go with me, let's go to the book of Job, chapter 41. Real quick, chapter 41, verse 19. Because I want to explain this the right way. I just don't want to say it the right way. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew, it's hot in here. Jesus, help. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Yes, 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 God. Thank you. Thank you, Esther, Job. Hallelujah. And we're going to see what was going on at this time that this scripture, chapter 41, verse 19, because, like you say, it's only at a specific time, 19, chapter 41. The Hebrew word, verse 19, lighting lips from the mouth, flames of fire flash out. Amen. Chapter. So that's the Lord is continually challenging. And if I'm trying to pronounce the word right, it's Levi Athan. Many scholars believe that the Levi-Athans was not a specific species of animal that lived in Job's time, but rather an image of cosmic evil. If that is the case, then God's illustration has another application. Job had no ability to control or conquer the evil in the world. But like Job, we must trust in God's administration of his world and his just dealings with its powerful and evil forces. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We have no power in our world, but in God's world. Hallelujah. And even in the book of Ephesians, you don't have to go there with me, Ephesians 1:19-23, and if you go there, it talks about the same thing. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler of authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the worlds to come. We have to remember that God is still in control of everything. We need God's power. We need God's understanding. We can't be successful operating in our own way. And I'm only saying this because if we think about before we knew Christ, because if we operate in our own way, it's like operating without Christ anyway, right? It's like operating like without Christ. So if we think about before we knew Christ, circumstances came up in our life. And if we be honest, how do we try to fix those situations? Because we had no other means but what we knew, right? So if you was a little shysty, your rent was due, you're going to tell a lie to the rent man, or if a bill was due, you know, you'll duck the phone man, or whatever the situation may be. But once we got to know Christ, and those same situations came into our life, the first thing we begin to do is trust in God that he was going to make it okay. Because he's not going to make us embarrassed. He's not going to make us look foolish because we're bragging and boasting on him. So if we're bragging and boasting on him, and now hear me out with this, and I'm speaking this personally. When you brag and boast on God, you have to be God's representative all the time. You can't have those moments where you say, listen, I know the Lord loves me and I love the Lord, but right now, da-da-da-da-da. No. This is a lifestyle. I can't be angry now and come back and say, oh, praise the Lord, and I'm trying to lay hands on somebody or I'm trying to lead somebody to Christ, but I just came out the liquor store. I just came out the lottery line, whatever it may be. Amen? And once we start being honest with ourselves and realize who God is to us ourselves, I can't get to heaven on First Lady's relationship with Christ. Now, I can get a little leeway with her prayers if she's praying, Lord, forgive him. I'm standing in the gap for my husband. I'm standing in the gap for my wife. I'm standing in the gap for my child. Lord, you said if I come before you and there's nothing you would deny me of. So I'm trusting, believing that I need some favor right now. I just need you to keep him in your perfect peace right now. I need you to cover him, Father, and let nothing or no one that's not like you in his presence. Because that is what in the gap for. It amazed me how you can do something Man, you could be best friends. We could be walking in the Lord. We can be praying and laying hands and delivering and giving out tracts and feeding the homeless and celebrating and praising God. And I could see you angry or arguing with somebody and look at you and shake my head and say, look at that. How is he or she supposed to be a man of God? Instead of saying, excuse me, my brother, let me talk to you. Is everything okay? And immediately pray, because we want to be bigger and badder than everybody else. We want to be the great I am when we can't be. God is still in charge. This is God's domain. This is God's world that he created for us to be in. He has put us on the battlefield to fight for his children. He don't need us, but because he loves us, he has brung us out so we won't have to die and go to hell. So because he uses us and trusts in us, see, we have to earn God's trust. You say a lot of times, oh, why, Lord, you didn't give me this? You ain't ready. Oh, Lord, why you haven't gave me that? You ain't ready. And see, when God say you ain't ready, he know we ain't ready. We may think we ready, but he see down the line. He see the heart. He see what's running through your little brain, a little trickery. You think you're getting over on God, but we're not. This is a different kind of message. Like I said, the title of this one is, I Taught You to Fight Better. And a lot of times we don't fight to the fullness. That's because we don't go and train the way we're supposed to train. Are we really reading and getting the fullness of God's word? Are we really, really seeking God's face the way he is pulling on us? You know, God can be pulling on you sometimes, but you want to watch BET, and you say, Lord, not now. That is the time we're supposed to go. I am learning so many different things and being a hard-headed Christian. And I'm speaking about me. I ain't talking about nobody else. I ain't built to talk about nobody else. I talk about me. As a hard-headed Christian, sometimes you put yourself in such a bad situation or such a situation that you didn't have to go through, but because you haven't, those spirits has to be broken. Now, everybody has a different level of spirits. You only might have two. You only have one. And I'm not judging nobody, but there is so many things as we grow that has to be broken. And we have to release them unto God. I can't say I'm walking around with the whole armor of God, and in this hand, I got a knife to stab my brother in his back, and in this hand, my tongue is so sharp to cut somebody out, and in my feet is ready to kick somebody in the behind. Those are not God-like attributes. And we can say all we want that I won't do this and I won't do that. When that enemy come at you and you're not prepared, we just read that scripture. Listen, here you go right here. So that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. You know what I mean? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, not yours. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm. Not just stand, but stand firm against all strategies against the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers, not weakness, not imps, against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Even when you get to the heavenly places, there's someone up there trying to block you from getting your prayers across, from getting your fellowship across, from getting your worship, from getting your praise. They're even trying to block you in the heavenly places. So we have to be strong in the war. Therefore, put on every piece, not some pieces, not partially pieces. Put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to what? Resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. That lets me know, after the battle lets me know there's going to be a battle. That statement right there lets me know, oh, there's going to be a battle. And I'm not talking about trials and tribulation. No, nope. A battle, a fight on the battlefield. Us against the enemy. Warfare against warfare. Now, what you bring to that battle determines how you come out the battle. We're going to come out victorious. If we be obedient to what that word say, we'll come out victorious. But if I just crawl out my bed and walk outside with my slippers on and my hat to the back, I'm not prepared for nothing. Get up, get me a cup of coffee, a bowl of cereal, some oatmeal, ain't pray, ain't read, ain't said thank you, Jesus, ain't said nothing. I'm not being prepared. I'm just, I can do it on my own because yesterday I was filled with this power and this wisdom and this spirit, and I've brung down some of the enemies for the Lord. And today I think I can get off on that same yesterday juice. But yesterday was yesterday. Today is a brand new day, which means while I was sleeping, the enemy was preparing. And while I was sleeping, he was setting up traps. And while I was sleeping, he was making moves, and he was finding out who he can use against me. And because I got up and did not seek God and did not go to that heavenly place and did not find out what God had prepared for me today, I walked into what they call an ambush. I was ambushed. I was beat down so quick, so fast, that I didn't even see it coming. And by the time I came out of it, my words was, what happened? I don't even know how I got there. Oh, my God, Lord, please forgive me. I know I had no, stop playing with Jesus. I'm speaking for me. We got to get back to being obedient to what the word of God is saying. Put on salvation as your helmet and take that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Remember, we said now that sword and that word of God is one, but it has to be used in its proper place. People always say, yeah, the word of God is power. Yes, in its proper place. It's just like an exclamation point. If I put if I say, excuse me, is it day Monday? I'm not going to put an exclamation point around there. I'm going to put a question mark around it back behind there because it has to be in its proper place and be used in its proper way. God wants us to be used in a way that he created us to use because he has taken things out of us and replaced them with things. He has took behaviors out of us and replaced them with more of him. He has took anger and replaced it with joy. He has took evil and replaced it with love. He has took selfishness and replaced it with gratitude. He has replaced some things in us, some love and harmony, joy and righteousness and grace and mercy and faith and understanding and courage and wisdom and all those great things. They use those things even on the battlefield. Sometimes, and I hope I'm saying this in a proper way, you have to be a spiritual con man. The enemy must think he got you until you bust him straight in his head with that spiritual sword. Oh, just when you thought you had me to the ground, just when you thought I was beat down, I reached up my right hand of righteousness unto the heavenly realm, and said, Father God, please don't allow the enemy to beat me down like this. And I have to trust and believe that God is going to deliver me from my enemies. Amen. The enemy will not be able to burn up our harvest because we have to quench every fire of wickedness sent against our life. But we have to do all these things in the name of Jesus. We have to quench all ungodly words spoken against us, spoken against our lives, spoken against our children, spoken against our health, spoken against our welfare, spoken against our well-being, spoken against our finances. We have to quench all ungodly words that are spoken against us in the name of Jesus. We have to even get to the point where we have to learn to quench all gossip that is against and directed against our life, all envy that is against our life. We have to quench that thing. We have to break that thing down. And we have to remember that the enemy flame will not kindle upon us. We are not going to let the enemy be victorious when we serve the Most High God, the most powerful being, the great I am, the one and only true King, the true Commander in Chief. We are not going to be defeated in Jesus' name. And we have to believe that, and we have to speak those things as if that they were. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we have to remember, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the powers, against the rulers of darkness. We have to remember what we're fighting against. We're not fighting against each other. We're not fighting against the boss. We're not fighting against the neighbor. We're not fighting against the choir manager. We're not fighting. We're fighting against spirits that are taking over and trying to use those things against us. It's time to be about the Spirit. It is time to be about God's work. It is time that we remember that God taught us to fight better than that. This has been your Fix at Six, and I have been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. I hope everyone has enjoyed this message on this evening, and I hope and pray that all is well with each and every listener, each and every listener's family member, each and every listener's child, grandchild, husband, wife, friend, and enemy. We at Mount Carmel Ministry like to thank you, and we like to send our love of the Lord and our praises out unto you, that if there's anything that we can do, if there's any prayer request, if there's anything as a member of the Most High God's big and one and only temple, we trust and believe that God is using us to do his work, and we give all the glory unto God. Amen. And we just want to thank all our supporters, all our listeners, all those who have been a blessing to the ministry, and not to take away from nobody, but we want to thank you all. Rome, Italy, Paris, Africa, Jamaica, Kingston, Delaware, New York, Philly, Baltimore, Maryland, wherever you may be at, pray that the love of the Lord is upon your life. And we pray that everything that we do and say could be helpful and useful in your everyday walk as a Christian man, woman, or child. We just thank you. We pray God for you, and we thank God for you. And we know all is going to be well. And we know that because you love the Lord, all be well. And we're just going to pray and ask God to forgive us for any sin that we have committed, anything that we have done that's not pleasing to him. We're going to ask God to forgive us. We're going to walk in clean slates on today. We're going to trust and believe in God on today. We're going to operate and walk in faith as of today, as of this moment. We're not going to walk in fear, no matter what the world says is going on, no matter what the world says is going to happen. What do God say is going to happen for his people? What do God say he's going to do for his people? We are not of the world. We should not worry and like the world. Amen. So I just really want to thank everyone. And like I said earlier, First Lady, who's done an outstanding, outstanding job for these last few, well, ever since she's been on the air, but she's really stepped in the gap. She's really plugged into God, and she's really, really being led by the Spirit, and she's really been kept by God. And I just want to thank the Lord for using her and bringing me such a wonderful, beautiful, talented, outstanding, loving, warm, precious, breathtaking, beauty, graceful walking, sweet talking, honey dip helpmate. And I you find yourself forgetting to say the things that you used to say and doing the things that you used to do, thinking that they're no longer going to be effective. And sometimes you think that, She tired of me hugging on her. She tired of me kissing on her. She want to be left alone. She wants space. And sometimes those are the very things that they may need. So if you have a husband, you have a wife, hug them. Let them know that you still love them. Remind them that why you fell in love with them. Remind them how special they are. Remind them that you appreciate them. And not only say it, but do it. Be doers of the word. Amen. So I just really want to thank First Lady. I really, like I said, I really appreciate you. Mount Carmel Ministry as a whole appreciates you. We're about to go live. We're about to get a YouTube channel, and we're going to do some live things, and we're going to set up where we just have rap sessions that people can come in and we can talk, we can fellowship, we can pray, we can cry, we can laugh, but we're going to be together in this fight, and we're going to be together as a oneness in Christ. Amen. This new covenant that God is putting together for Mount Carmel International Church. I already see the prosperity in it, and I already see the manifestation of it, and I already see it going global and worldwide, not for ratings, but for the souls to get to know Christ and get saved and get delivered, and God gets the glory. Amen. So with that being said, Father God, we thank you for what you've done on this evening. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your mighty words. We thank you for your son's precious blood, who he shed it on the cross so we can not only live but have everlasting life with you, God. We praise you and we worship you, God. And as we leave this studio but not your presence, we just want to say, Father God, keep us in your perfect peace. Keep us gathered together as one. Keep your sheep, Father. Keep us, empower us, Father. Give us instruction. Give us wisdom. Give us spiritual insight. Show us to do it the way you want to do it. And most of all, God, we give you the glory and honor with our lives. And we thank you for keeping us up to this far. And we love you. We praise you. And we glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. This has been your Fix It Six, and I have been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Until next time, God bless.